Okay, good morning. This is a little different. Today is Wednesday, January 4. Happy New Year, and welcome to Event 201. No, not welcome to the new year, and it should be pretty intense. I was just asked a question in class that I felt ought to be recorded. It's a good question about souls with whom we reincarnate on planet Earth or elsewhere, but particularly here. Are we with a certain group of souls lifetime after lifetime? What about my friends and family? Some seem very close and we've been together in past lives and some are not. I was saying that there seem to be, one could look at it that there are circles. There's an inner circle, an outer circle, and then beyond the outer circle, the periphery and beyond. In the inner circle, it seems to me, would be souls that are at a comparable level of evolution, whether they're 3D native souls or wanderers from fourth or fifth, sixth density. For us, most of the people listening, we are wanderers of fourth or fifth or sixth density in general, and would commonly, I think, come to Earth with and reincarnate regularly with an inner circle of souls like, you know, my pod, like we're peas in a pod. I came to Earth from sixth density with 20 million souls, and of that 20 million, there's a group of 20 with whom I have reincarnated multiple times in multiple past lives, up to now, per agreement made prior to incarnation, the first life in the cycle or in the contract of a series of lives. That's the inner circle. And so in the current life, we may well know some, there may be some friends and family, or even people who cross our path as well and don't remain as friends. Some souls who are in that inner circle with whom we agreed to come to Earth, or we came to Earth together even, or not, but they're from the same higher dimensional soul group. These are soulmates. This is one definition of soulmate, is souls from the same, you know, higher dimensional family or group, planet, in this case, with whom we planned, with whom we came to Earth, and with whom we plan to reincarnate multiple times together in varying family relations. You know, now you're being my parent, next time you'll be my brother, sister. So today you're my parent, and yesterday, past life, you were my sibling, and another time you were my spouse, and another time you were a friend, and another time our paths crossed, but we didn't have any long-term connection. This is like the inner circle, and it's not like there are certain souls. I mean, this is in general, as far as I can tell. I don't think that there are certain souls that... I don't think that we would be reincarnating every single lifetime with the same souls, for sure. But we would be reincarnating in multiple lives with a small group that I'm calling an inner circle of souls with whom there's high compatibility in terms of level of evolution. The levels of evolution, and also some resonance in life purpose, working on a certain dynamic of a love-wisdom balance. Love-wisdom balance experienced in a certain way, or doing a certain piece of service to humanity or for humanity, or developing ourselves, or having a particularly a karmic, you know, balancing life of harsh catalyst, or having a karmically balancing life of reward, a reward life, where everything's easy and things are peaceful and the soul does well and has a good time in that life because they just have finished a lifetime where there was some trauma or where there was heavy obligation, duty, and burdened So this is a reward life of emotional unburdening or emotional lightening. So though there are various, there are countless reasons for which souls would choose to be meeting or connecting or family with other souls in any one lifetime. But it's not like everyone is like that. And that's the inner circle. And the outer circle are people that cross our path in multiple lifetimes. Souls who, as humans, may not be from the same group, but they may be 3D. Let's say a wanderer plans for a contract of, you know, I'm going to come in the 18th dynasty, and I'm going to leave at 3D harvest of 4. Uh-huh. And in that life, in the 18th dynasty, and developing Amara and Aten, we will cross paths in various lifetimes because we have the same contract length. We're both here for 3,500 years or so, or 4,000 years. The man from Earth. Allah, the man from Earth, but those from elsewhere on Earth whose consciousness never dies, or the soul continues. And that group that came in then, there's an inner circle and an outer circle for any one soul as well. Meaning, we came in together, and others were there who are 3D souls who are approaching harvestability, or with whom we have some conflict, or where there's mutual benefit. And yet they weren't really of the same soul development. So souls of, you know, not excellent, not high resonance compatibility or you know, fit, yet meet in multiple lifetimes for various reasons. I mean, the reasons for that are all across the board. You know, they need something from you and you need something from them. But they're not really the inner circle of soulmates from the same higher dimensional group or family. And then there are those outside the periphery that may come and go, but we don't have much with. So the cast of characters of any one lifetime may, the cast of most near and dear characters, particularly family and friends and loved ones, which become family, family, friends, associates, that cast of characters may be of an inner circle and an outer circle, and the arrangement in any one life varies, but those that are closest are drawn from a certain inner circle or inner outer, and those that are acquaintances also sort of drawn from the inner outer circle. So it's not, you know, in this lifetime we're friends, in the last lifetime we were family. In another lifetime we didn't know each other, we had no path crossing, and or in another lifetime our paths crossed but nothing happened. But that was a necessary path crossing because there was an energy transfer. Something happened metaphysically when two souls who are of inner circle, you know, metaphysical compatibility or harmony or resonance meet but don't connect, there's still often an important purpose for that meeting. Any follow-up on that? Yeah, you bring up the point that, you know, had you not moved, you would not have met those people who you have kind of recognized to be inner circle soulmates or with great spiritual affinity and past life connection. We would feel, you feel, you made the decision to move. I would feel, you know, I made the decision to move to Taiwan, right? Was that planned before birth? was that planned decades before it happened? Did I decide decades before in the life, in this lifetime, in this incarnation? Did we decide decades before the move to make the move? Did we decide before the birth to make the move that later we felt was a free will choice made then, which was actually made prior? Don't know. I would imagine both are in play. And so you can say, had I not moved, I would not meet them. Personally, I had a sense when I went to CIIS in 1989 or 88. I want to go to San Francisco and study there for the MA because I think I'll meet good people. I think that there are people there for me, or the people there will be resonant with me. And that's what happened, of course. I met a lot of good people and a lot of friends and a lot of soulmates in the sense of a resonant, a metaphysical resonance of the levels of development and common perspectives. Was that a decision made then? Yes. Was it set up prior? Yeah, probably. This kind of thing, like, and yet sometimes that's arranged prior, decades prior in the life, or not, or prior to the incarnation itself. There is also, there's when I was in Thailand, I met a man who was owning a hotel where I stayed for 10 days. It was a small B&B kind of place. He looked like my uncle. And it was odd because my uncle just died. And he acted like my uncle a little bit. It was very odd. And there was almost like a father-son thing that sort of started. Not in a big way, but a little. And my uncle also was sort of fatherly to me. And so that was odd. And then there was actually an experience where he actually fainted. It was very strange. He was just tired and something happened and he fainted in front of me and these others at dinner. And, he's a big, tall guy and kind of hard-working, physical guy. And he just totally lost it in front of everybody, which everybody was shocked at, and I was. And I saw it as some kind of metaphysical reset for him. I don't know why, because it's completely out of character. I mean, he's the kind of guy that just works and hard and made his own place excellently over 3 decades, and for him to totally lose it is really out of character, and that happened, and I was very shocking for everybody. And he's okay now, but was that kind of thing planned before birth? No, I don't think so. Was it planned decades before the meeting? No, I don't think so. Was it planned in time space? Before I went to Thailand, that we have that I'd be staying at that place? Possibly, yes. And was that fainting spell, which is completely out of character for him, metaphysically sourced in the sense that there was some kind of past life connection between he and I? He was a European fellow. And there was some value to him fainting while I'm there and the others are there. Is that fantasy? Oh, what are you, crazy? Or was there something to it? Maybe there was something to it. Maybe not. Maybe there was. And he didn't feel to me at all like an inner circle soul, but very possibly an outer circle soul, more than an acquaintance or soul that I had crossed paths with or knew as an acquaintance in some past life, in Europe, most likely. But there was some value to him fainting in my presence. What? Why? Because I'm such a great guy? No. But there are all sorts of subtle things, right? To what extent, what was the nature of our connection in a past life? Was it, family of some sort? Was it father-son? Was it older man in the village, and I was younger, and he was fatherly and kindly, and I appreciated him. And he's a 3D native, and I'm a wanderer, and he didn't look like a wanderer to me, but he, or maybe he was. Who can say? Sleeping wanderers commonly, appear to be because they want to be like everyone else as a common human fellow or gal. Common, what the person that looks common may well be a wanderer who has rejected awakening to that level of identity. And so maybe he is. Who can, I don't know. But I didn't feel, a strong connection with him, but there was something, and it was strange. It was sort of eerie. He was looked a lot like my uncle and very similar physiology. I mean, it felt like there, based on some positive affinity in the past life that I had felt with him, his fainting in public for in front of me and his wife and some all these other people was important. What happened was it sort of, I saw it as sort of like a mental reset. It was a sort of push the reset button, reset the, reboot the computer. It was a reboot, actually. It was some kind of temporary minor reboot that somehow I think was important for him. So another definition of soulmates really is inner circle or outer circle souls with whom we've had one or several past lives and some degree of a connection, whether it's harmonious or conflictual. The strangest thing, which I don't want to get into because it's actually quite sensitive, is a weird matter that parents in one lifetime may be siblings in another and lovers or spouse in the next. So what? You're fucking your spouse and you're fucking your siblings or your, parent child because in another relationship, in another lifetime, those that had been spousal are parent child. That's pretty weird. But that happens, That's also a strange matter. It's like the little girl whose father's in love with her. The little boy whose mother's in love with her, the little boy who's in love with his mother, the little girl who's in love with her father. It happens, And maybe absolutely, non-physical love, real dove, heart love, pure. But it may well be that in past lives they were intimate sexually, if, and now it's parents or now it's siblings. So you've got parental, the parental dyad of parent-child. You've got the spouse, the sibling dyad of brother sister or brother brother sister sister. You've got the spousal dyad of partner partner, whether it's male male female female whatever. It's a spousal or intimate partner, life partner or short time partner, and these roles are they're like cards dealt and redealt, like we're all talking about the cards of joy and sorrow, dealt and redealt endlessly, and you can't see others' hands, you can only see their eyes, and throw your cards on the table in the fire of all unconditional love and acceptance. Okay, sure, fine, that's great. That's very supreme learning, but it's just an odd matter to me that souls that are that souls may well change roles. I mean, commonly, yeah, inner circle souls do change roles in multiple lifetimes, yeah. But it may go from a relation that was intimate, sexual, as life partners or spouse or boyfriend, girlfriend or something, something. And then go to one where it's completely taboo to even think of such a weird thing, right? S between the parent-child or between siblings. And I'm not advocating anything. I'm just saying that's how it seems to be where arrangements go that way. And then then it gets into, human taboos about sexuality and dot, dot, dot. So without getting into that minefield, what should be, what shouldn't be, what is evil and what's not evil. I don't know. You tell me, or you do your own thing. It's up to you. But don't hurt any, you know, do no harm. But whatever. I'm not advocating this or that, but I'm saying it is an odd matter. From a higher perspective, sexuality is seen very differently than for us. And from a higher perspective, it's important for some souls in an inner circle where there really is some compatibility, or where there's not compatibility, to experience multiple lifetimes together in different roles. That is not unusual. Okay. I think now we're talking about probability vortices, or your experience of visioning to some degree how it would have been had I not gone the way I went, how it would have been had I gone the other way I was considering. That's the whole discussion of parallel lives and timelines and all that. And yeah, as you said, the power of thought forms, you know, in the spiritist tradition, Chico Xavier and their teachings. It's kind of that sort of minefield itself, where I don't know about I don't know how substantial parallel timelines really is beyond the imaginal, beyond imagination. But there is this. You know, there's the matter of free will, which is, to what degree do we really have free will? Well, we have the experience of free will without a doubt, and we have experience all the time of decision choice points where there we perceive multiple options. The crystallized healer has no will, said Ra, and to the degree that the drop has merged in the ocean, it doesn't move independently from the ocean. To the extent that the consciousness of being the experience, the perception, and thus experience of being a separate identity being, I am me and you are you, to the extent that there's that, you know, the illusion of Atma, the experience of separative, substantial identity, soul, self, to the extent that we're still in that consciousness, we experience, you know, free will, independent action quite strongly. To the extent that one is working from green, blue, indigo, higher chakras, one would experience independent free will more and less, or in a different way, and then this teaching from Ra's crystallized healer has no will means what? They have no willpower? No, I think it's akin to the merging of the drop back to the ocean, where the constituent of the essence of a self beyond identity, the sense of self dropped or dissolved, and awareness of unity, complete or nearby complete, the drop in the ocean now without the same independent motion, has no longer the same experience of free will. There's greater will or access to universal willpower, but there's a certain kind of independence, autonomy, that is greater and lesser, perhaps, than before. Like Nityananda, you know, went all over India doing miracles and magic in service to everyone, to all sorts of people all over the place. It looks like a lot of will and a lot of freedom, a lot of free will there. Meanwhile, in some sense, he's just doing his danda. It's the course of events doesn't follow an exclusively conscious mind, manasic-based decision. The course, the physical course of activity, he went there and he went to the other place, we are here, we decide to go there or not. Though the where one is and what one decides and where one goes or how one changes by all those decisions is not fully made, is made in a different way at a higher level of awareness or development than at a lower level of development. He was working in a different, he was aware of the droplets, the other beings around him in a way metaphysically that was in touch with what they needed, where they're at metaphysically and what they needed. And his path crossed their paths, not fully by personal decision. It clearly we can say he decided to stay longer or go there or move or something. That was part of it, but I wouldn't think it's the same self-willing as somebody at a lesser level of development like me or others. When the drop merges into the ocean, I would presume it's sensitive to the macro field dynamics of currents and temperature gradient and all sorts of weather conditions associated with the planetary and the cosmic, and activity occurs, decision is made not fully by the conscious mind, or the conscious mind has joined with the a mind of unity, the awareness of unity. So Atman goes to Jivatman, or the Jiva goes to Atman, becomes Jivatman, or Paramatman for him. For him, he's like a walking around Paramatman. And so what we, and to some degree, what we experience as a choice, like I came to Taiwan, or you moved to another state, one marries this person or not, goes that way or stays. Some of that really is us following a plan while we think we're free-willing. Or we think we're free-willing the decision in the moment, when actually our experience of free will in the moment is simply in accord with what had been planned decades before or before the lifetime. And so that's a weird matter. And I just want to say also, just to rectify the term soulmate to some degree. Not everybody, the human New Age conception of soulmate is romanticized or sentimental. There are occasionally any soul from the same soul group I would consider a soulmate, or a intimate spiritual family, soul family relation. And that doesn't necessarily mean that they partner up in any one lifetime, obviously. There are some people, or it's the plan of some souls in some lifetimes, I think pretty regularly, to not meet and partner with a soulmate, nor one from a past life, an inner circle soul. It may not be the plan to have a perfect union in any one lifetime. It may be the plan to have it and lose it, or have it or meet that one who is an inner circle soul from several past lives and or home, higher density soul group, and not get together, or with the likelihood that they will fail. They want, or they might want, but there's conflict and it doesn't happen. That too may well have been planned. Or is it a plan that they'll fail to unite or get together or stay together or partner as spouse or something? Maybe. Or it's just sort of known before birth that they'll meet, but they won't have a certain level of maturity or clarity or understanding or capacity to get together and be partnered in the lifetime. That's possible. Or there is a strong soul connection that's an inner circle soul. Yet there's a history of conflict, and it's not sure or at one level of our being, it's not sure, we're not sure, it's not clear whether there'll be harmony or the past seeds of conflict will overwhelm the weeds of conflict will overwhelm the flowers in the garden of the partnership. There's also the case where we partner with an outer circle soul. Outer circle, just in this usage, being someone with whom there isn't, they're not, we're not from the same group. We're not at the same level of evolution. But we've known each other in past lives and had a harmonious or a disharmonious relation in the past. And we're either seeking to build on the harmony or work through the conflict in this lifetime. But it's surely a delusion to presume that just because the best-selling New Age author says you are beloved and you deserve your happiness and fulfillment and abundance and meet your soulmate in every lifetime or this lifetime, that's just not in the cards, actually. And it's commonly the human is antithetical to the universal. There are some souls that would be considered extremely attractive, men or women, facially, physically, and commonly human society thinks, oh, that's a superior soul because look how, quote, beautiful or handsome they are, when actually that's a low evolved soul or a negative soul. And a more highly evolved positive soul actually looks more common. It's like Chico Javier, Francisco Javier. His face is kind of googly-eyed, and that's not normally a sign of harmonious brain hemispheric coordination. But he did a great piece of work, and maybe some kind of brain hemispheric non-coordination that may be evidenced in the misaligned eye positions and eyes is necessary to fulfill the life purpose. And has nothing to do, is not an indication of being a damaged soul, but a needed anomalous brain configuration to fulfill his purpose in being the medium for, you know, dozens of books that helped, you know, hundreds of thousands or millions of people, particularly in Brazil. So things are not always as they appear. The Buddhist phrase is, things are not as they appear, nor are they otherwise. If you can figure that one out. So I'm just saying there are all sorts of dealings of the roles of the souls of the inner and outer circles of any individual soul or person in any one lifetime or across lifetimes. And that's in accord with universal law that sometimes is completely misunderstood or antithetical to the you know, human mores or human perspectives. So there are all sorts of strange things going on that, or what we would call strange. And yet, the point I just want to make is that while we experience ourselves making a free will decision or having a decision, being at a choice point to make a decision of multiple options. In some cases, that was which choice we'll take was decided before birth. It was expected or planned in the life course before birth that we'd get to those decision points and have several options, yet the one we've taken, we think we decided ourselves, but actually we're following a script of our own script, but it may be karmically required as well, meaning it's a necessary, going the way I went was necessary to the fulfillment of my life plan so that I would make certain development or have certain challenging catalyst to make balance that I hadn't had before, dot, dot, dot. So this is what the mind of higher self looks into, I would imagine, this kind, these multiple lifetime, multiple relationship, multiple roles rearranged, scenario or situation. So it's that complicated, actually. So anyway, let me close this little discussion on soulmates and soul circles and just some thoughts for consideration, and I hope it was useful. Take good care and good night.